This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. Late substitution to the lineup of the Friday Night Live. Mickey is somewhat unavailable this evening. To start us off, anybody who can come up with the most creative reason as to why Mickey isn't joining us tonight will win a prize. But tonight I'm joined by my glamorous assistant, Joe Zampa. Joe, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Well, let's be honest, he ain't giving Joe Edwards any advice, is he, at the moment when he tips? So hopefully it'll be nowhere near him for tomorrow. But I'm good, feeling quite nervous about tomorrow, but also sort of excited, sort of a bit of mixed emotions there, really. But I'm sure we'll talk about that at great length later as the show goes on.
Absolutely. And to echo, I'm very well. To echo what you said, I think it's going to be nervy tomorrow, first time. Probably in a while. It's a home game that's been must win. I know last season it was must win for different reasons, but this really feels like we're at desperation point. I'm going to try, as I say, I'm not as technically gifted as Mickey. So you guys are going to have to bear with me whilst we rattle through the comments. Big E, Ken, Anthony, Dan, a lot of regulars in the chat, Chris Brown, Peter, Mark, evening all. Joe, before we get going, have you managed to watch Chat with Chaps this week?
I did. I even made a comment on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, and just to say that it just felt like it was very kind of heartfelt, quite raw. It was like, you know, you can see it wasn't scripted. It was literally just like, boom, this is it. All the emotions sort of came out, didn't it? And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people that listened to it, I'm sure, felt the same way. And you know, he was spot on with everything he said, really. He kind of covered all areas. There's non-bias as always. And I think he touched on every area that we all kind of identify. You know, some choose some areas more than others. Some blame one part more than the other. But I think he kind of looked at all areas. It was really good. So I would definitely say, if you haven't seen it yet, guys, definitely look at the That Millwall Podcast YouTube channel, and it'll be on the videos there. So definitely worth a look.
Absolutely. And as I say, as Joe said, if you haven't seen it, I would say, Joe, I think you messaged in our chat the other day, it's probably one of the best episodes of Chat with Chaps that he's put out. Very, very heartfelt. What we're doing tonight, we're going to try and have a little bit of structure and a little bit of order to the proceedings. We know that the topics of conversations are going to be Joe Edwards. They're going to be the players. We're going to, you know, probably delve in a little bit, but we're going to try and we're going to decipher basically where what we think the problems are. A little bit of a to and fro between me and Joe. We'll open it up to you guys. Obviously, comments obviously always more than welcome. We'll try and rattle through as many of them as possible. Ken, good evening. Joe, I believe he's American, so that would potentially be good morning and good afternoon. Andrew, Rosalind, Lilian, Darren, first one, Mickey getting his hair cut. hair transplant went wrong. Mickey at the Den to become our new manager. Mickey went to Turkey. The ex-fan on the board having a lie down after taking training at Calmont Road. Chaps nailed it. Mickey's caught a last-minute flight to Turkey where he'd been offered a 25% discount for transplant surgery, said he couldn't turn down the offer. Had a dodgy curry last night. And Mickey, His eyes are always watching. He's on the pod account commenting away. He's going to remake him. He's going to make a list of all the names, and you've had it now.
Oh, he will be. I guarantee you. Wherever he's at the moment, he'll have his phone there looking and spying on us, won't he? I guarantee that.
Mickey tracking down Aldo. Right, guys, before we continue, Joey's on the beers. I like that. Excellent.
It's been a tough week, so I've been waiting for this moment. My first beer for the weekend.
Whilst Joe starts his, that looks like a Corona. It's a good choice of beverage. I wanted to start the show with a clip of Joe Edwards. It's only a short clip. It's the first part of the interview after the fixture against Ipswich. We will delve a little bit into it. But I just wanted to play this clip first for those of you who haven't seen it.
You made such a good start to that in the opening 15, 20 minutes or so. Did confidence really go with that first goal?
Yeah, exactly that. It's been happening too often to us as well. I mean, starting games well at home isn't anything to be screaming and shouting about or expecting to get too much from. You have to play well for the full game against teams like this. But we did. We had a clear plan. We knew what their threats are, and for 25 minutes it was a game. But as is with us at the moment, we make an error that is followed shortly by another error. Which firstly are not good enough. You know, we're better than that. They're poor mistakes. But the reality is, at the moment, most errors we make, we're getting punished.
So that was Joe Edwards talking about the Ipswich game, the start of the interview. And the reason why I played that particular clip, and Joe and I are going to try our best to go through this. He mentions there about the individual errors that are costing us week after week. You've done a little bit of research of your own to suggest that 11 goals, or 12 goals, I think it is now.
It's now up to 13, if you want to include Muzz's penalty gave away. But yeah, let's call it 12 out of 13 goals.
For the benefit of the doubt, we'll go with 12. I think the penalty was a bit harsh, but that's, you know, it's 3-0 and that time. Individual mistakes are costing us every single week, Joe. And I would like to ask you and the listeners first, where do you stand? Is it a case of that the players are just not good enough and are making too many individual errors? Or are they being asked to do a job that they're not quite good enough to do and they don't have the ability to do, and that's leading them to make mistakes? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I mean, no one's perfect. I mean, I'm sure every team, if you looked at every match that's played in the championship, you're going to get probably every game you're going to get a mistake. It's going to cost you. You know, it's not uncommon to make mistakes and concede goals. But the point I'm making is it seems to happen too often, and too often with us, because every goal, look back on our last 13 goals conceded since the Bristol City game. Every goal we conceded, you could identify a mistake, whether it's giving a ball away, whether it's not marking a player, whether it's scoring an own goal or a goalkeeping error. It's happening too often. The reasons why it's happening, I mean, the obvious thing to say is it's probably confidence and maybe ability. Now, on the ability side of things, that's probably a little bit unfair because, you know, some players like Wes Harding have been quite consistent in the earlier games have played for us. That, you know, people have been talking about how well he's been playing and things like that. But I think that probably goes towards what Joe Edwards is trying to get him to do. He asked him to play with the ball, play a bit further up the pitch. I'll give you an example of this. So if you remember the game against Ipswich, I think it was the first game, they had a player called Hutchinson, number 20, who was sort of playing that number 10 role. He's kind of playing alongside their striker at times. And he plays that role where it's very, very hard to pick him up. Now, I hate using Gary Rowett's name here, but under someone like Gary Rowett, for example, he would have someone like a Saville or a Mitchell to drop deep to pick up their number 10 player. But what Joe Edwards is trying to do, he's trying to play us further up the park. So what he's asked our centre-backs to do is to go with the striker. So if they come deep to get the ball, you come straight out with them. Now, we've seen them do this quite often this season, and it's been to good effect. Like, it's paid off sometimes. But what you do is you leave a gaping hole behind them. Now, the trouble is, when you've got Cooper, who's 7'5", going after Hutchinson, this young, small kid who's fucking rapid and quick, and he's gone right out in no man's land with him, He gets the ball. He turns Cooper. He goes down the right wing. I think, you know, you might have seen it a couple of times, and he just left him for dust. There was also the incident where he's trying to shield the ball out. I don't know what Cooper's trying to do. And again, Hutchinson just took the ball off him and went through. I think Muzza then went out for a corner, and then from the corner, they then scored. So what I'm saying is your defenders are asking to do a lot more now than they've ever done before under the Garrett Rowett era. I mean, I can bore you a bit more with regards to what I try to say here, but under the Garrett Rowett era, your defenders were asked to defend very, very low with a low midfield block. And all they're asked to do is just defend, get the ball and go long. Whereas now we're asked to play hard at the pitch, get on the ball and start string passes. And going back to what Chaps said on his interview, Stephen, I don't think our players, our defenders certainly, are not good enough to fulfil and implement what Joe Edwards has asked them to do. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely. And guys, I'm rattling through the comments. There's so many coming through. Really, really appreciate it. There's quite a few of you listening as well at the moment. I'm going to do what Mickey always does. Please like and subscribe. We are very close to 2,200 subscribers at the moment as well. So if you can get us over that little hurdle, that would be very much appreciated. I will get us all the comments up on the screen. I have saved a few that I will come back to, and we'll try and delve in and answer a little bit deeper. Joe, in response to what you're saying there, the goals, I think the Cooper incident for me was that I thought that was shocking. Someone commented, Peter, that I was very vocal before half time. He obviously heard me give a goal on a massive rant about Jake Cooper on Wednesday evening. Individual mistakes for goals, I think, it's so common. It's so common. You yourself have been very vocal about it. Other fans have started to really, you know, it's starting to really become draining to watch the same kind of things happening week after week. News at Den, I don't know if you meant to see the article, did a piece where they looked at the tactical side of things and where we're perhaps falling a little bit short. And to echo what you said, the first goal, if Cooper deals with it, they don't get the corner and they don't score. Or Murray, Wallace and Sarkic, one of them call, but they both leave it and again they score. And we're also, I believe, left 2-on-1 from that corner because it actually goes short.
Sorry to break your flow there. Just want to add that bit. I heard, and I don't know if it's true, apparently Sarkic claimed that ball or wanted that ball, but Murray didn't hear him or whatever, and then obviously hit out for a corner. So again, it's a bit of confusion, misunderstanding between defender and goalkeeper. Sorry, Steve, carry on.
No, absolutely. And so that's goal one. And so you get caught from the short corner, that's goal one. The second goal, Pete, I don't blame Wes Harding for trying to block the cross sliding in. That's not where the problem is. Yeah. The problem lies that the bloke that puts the ball across actually runs through the middle of the pitch, goes through probably three or four of our players, just unmarked, ghosted past all of them, and they're all standing there waiting for the offside flag. Look, I think, you know, the offside trap, teams try and play it up and down the country at every level of football, but you still play to the whistle. They just let the guy run through the middle of the team. And again, ball comes across. Harding, perhaps he should get a shout. It doesn't necessarily have to slide, but as a defender, you're going to try and stop that ball coming across. So the third goal, I mean, to be honest with you, at this point, I was in utter despair in my seat. But the third goal, it just looks like a calamity. A ball comes across. Kiefer Moore, who everybody knows their entire game plan was putting the ball out wide, crossing it into the box and trying to get him on the end of it. Unmarked, free header, bounces into the ground. Harding, I don't know what happens there. It skims over him. But tactically, Joe Edwards is sending the players out to play a certain way. Now, I tweeted in the week that I have sympathy with Joe Edwards, but I also am starting to get frustrated with the fact that clearly the players aren't capable to play the way he's asking them to. We've both said our pieces there and both basically have said that there's bigger problems with individuals, essentially. So, million-dollar question. Why is he still persisting with the three at the back and perhaps trying to play the football that our defenders aren't capable? What do you think it is?
Again, could this stem from his inexperience? I mean, what surprises me is that he's got people there like Adam Barrett, who you think is, you know, quite an experienced coach in a sense that, you know, he's been working with Rowett for many, many years. He's quite a defensive-minded coach himself. What's his purpose you know, if we're not defending, if we're not carrying out good sort of defensive performances, then I don't see what's the point of him being there at the moment, because it just seems like it's all kind of Joe's way. It's all about playing on the front foot, attacking football. Now, when you look at when Rowett was in charge, and again, sorry guys, I keep mentioning his name, but I don't know what else we can call him for now other than his name. But the point I'm trying to make is, under Rowett, a game like that on Sunday against Ipswich, we were probably not winning that 1-0 or 2-1. How often do we play against good teams at home and put good performances, either nick the result or get a draw out of them, against like some Burnley and Sheffield United last season, for example? The difference is, when we played against shit teams at home, Rowett struggled. We could never break down the other team. We were too defensive-minded. There was no creativity. The point I'm trying to make here, sorry, it's got, I'm going around the houses a little bit, is that Joe Edwards has kind of got one style of playing. Now, I think he's tweaked it a little bit after the kind of the Coventry losses November, I think, like early December, when we lost a couple of big losses after Sheffield Wednesday. He tweaked it a little bit, but the point I'm making is he hasn't got that kind of all defensive way of playing. And I guess against Ipswich, no matter how bad their form has been of late, they're a good, good side. Dare I say, you need to kind of go all Rowett against Ipswich, play with a low defensive line, a low block midfield. Yes, it might stink the place out. Yes, it could be a bit boring. But what you're doing is you're limiting opportunities. You're limiting space behind your defenders. Let's be honest, our defenders don't want to give away space because they've got no pace to get back anyway. But you're playing a low block. Your attackers are playing behind the ball. And you're nicking, a chance or a score, or a goal or a set piece on the other way. When you play against Sheffield Wednesday at home tomorrow, that's when you can then go the Joe Edwards way. And I'm really hoping that tomorrow we can play to his strengths, if you like, play a little bit more on the front foot, and then maybe we can do well. But certainly against the tougher teams, you've got to be very, very cautious in how you're playing. I just don't think he kind of works out the two different styles. Mentally, it's kind of like, we're going to play this way, that's what we're going to play. We're not going to change our style too much. And you can see, conceding 13 goals in six games, it's costing us,
Absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of comments here. Brian gets a ban for elbow. Does Ipswich player elbows Fleming? Will he get the same punishment? I wasn't really going to cover this, but Joe Bryan has been suspended. Obviously, two games left. Retrospectively, it's not gone down well. His message from on his Instagram, is it? I mean, it's not really the Millwall way. It's not what we're used to, and I think it just goes to show maybe perhaps some of the characters that we've got in the team are not quite Millwall type players. I agree, Ken.
That's the coffee way, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mentioned Ashley Barnes from Norwich. What happened to him? But nothing there.
Nothing.
Defence used to concede in no confidence, communication, total confusion. Mm. Agree. I say a lot of these comments, guys, I will try and keep up with them as much as I can. As I say, I do have found respect for Mickey that he does do a good job with these. Edwards needs to change his style of play until the end of the season and play system players' strength at its disposal to get us out of this mess. Mm. I agree with that comment. And as you said, Joe, I've been sort of banging the drum a little bit that under Rowett, we had a plan A. We didn't have a plan B. Mm. Plan A got us relative success, should we say? But when it didn't work, it wasn't the same. And I feel Joe Edwards is kind of in the same bracket. It's just a different way. He's got his style of football, what he wants to do and what he wants the players to implement. But when push goes to shove and we need to make changes, the changes we made on Wednesday, it's just the same. It's just different players playing in the same positions. They don't do anything different, really. Maybe Adam Meyer, probably harsh on him. He's not had much game time, especially at this level. But it's just changing players for the sake of making substitutions. And I think, whilst that comment there from Ugar there, he does need to find a slightly different way, or at least a plan B, something a little bit different.
Going back to Ugar's point there, I mean, I know we kind of had to go for it a little bit in the second half and go four at the back. But is it me, or do you feel we played better? Or was it because Ipswich were 3-0 up at that point? If we know what, we're going to sit back and just going to cruise the second half. I just feel that extra player makes a difference for us in the middle of the park. When we rely on our wing-backs, unless we've got really good wing-backs playing, we can't really affect that formation as well as we should. Because when you play wing-backs, your wing-backs have to be top draw, aren't they? And if they're just average, we're not going to implement, are we?
I'll be honest with you. I went to the Ipswich away game and we were 3-0 down inside 25 minutes or whatever it was there. And it was shocking. It was absolutely shocking. And to the point where just after half time, the Ipswich manager changed all four of his attacking players because he knew that we had nothing whatsoever and could give his players a rest. And on Wednesday, he bloody well could have done the same thing. He could have taken off all of them front four and played anybody he wanted to in them positions. It made no difference. I agree, maybe we had a little bit more of the ball, but let's be honest. They were in second gear. They passed the ball. They moved it around the back. The goalkeeper held on to it for as long as he wanted. I see the point perhaps of the change of system may have helped us gain the ball, but when the opposition don't need to do anything, it was just quite embarrassing. I left the ground feeling quite embarrassed at the level of the performance. And I know the penalty, kind of capped it off. It wasn't a penalty, but you know, it's very, very disappointing. The next point I wanted to come to, again, sort of taking it a little bit from Chaps, is the mentality of this team and the players.
You got some Wi-Fi issues there, Stephen. It's cutting in and out a little bit. We almost lost you completely. You went off the screen a little bit.
It flashed on mine. I'm having a few Wi-Fi issues, so bear with me with it. The mentality of this group. Chaps produced a stat that we haven't come from behind in a game to win for over 16 months. Out of 10, what level is the player's confidence at right now, would you say?
It's very hard to sort of say, because if you listen to what Joe Edwards says about the players, about their attitude in training, and you hear bits and bobs for people that are quite close to the players or players' family, there seems that there's a real togetherness there. You know, I'm not hearing anything at all that's negative. I'm not hearing that, you know, they're really low on confidence, but I guess confidence is definitely not on an up at the moment. From what I'm feeling at the moment is that there's definitely this positive attitude, I think, in regards to tomorrow. I think the players are up for it. I think they know what they've got to do. They know what the job is in hand and what they have need to execute tomorrow. And I just hope that luck's with them a little bit. Because I guarantee you there's going to be 100% effort from the players. You know, they're all going to want to win this game. They see this as a very, very winnable game. But it's football. You know, all it takes is a bad tackle or a mistimed pass or anything like that. It's going to result in them getting a chance and scoring passes. Then, again, back to Chaps's point, we go a goal down. You know, are the heads going to drop? Is the confidence going to lower again? We need to make sure that we're switched on and we're focused. You know, eliminate any of these mistakes and errors that can happen, and don't give them a chance. What I'm saying is, you know, don't give them a chance. Play your game, be on the front foot, yes, but don't make it easy and don't give them a chance. You know, don't let anything slip, basically, you know?
Absolutely. And Mickey and I had a very good debate on this a couple of weeks ago about the mentality and the confidence of the players. And unfortunately, I just feel like this group have no... They just don't seem to have the fight in them to want to, okay, maybe not want, but the fight and the ability to be able to drag themselves out of a hole. I mean, you look at the end of the game, George Saville slumped to the floor. Someone who I actually think, again, obviously I know I'm a fan of his. I didn't think he had a particularly good game on Wednesday. Not many of them did, but you can see how much it means to some of these players. Others that, you know, might not get it as much, but there's just no fight. There's no leader. There's no determination from players. And I hope that that when Sean Hutchinson is available to play, that he plays, because if he can't do it as club captain, then we really are in trouble. But I just feel we're missing someone that really understands it. And I don't want to turn this into a bashing on individual players, but Jake Cooper, he's not a captain material.
As sad as it sounds, when you look at, and again, it's horrible of us to kind of pick players out here, but if you look at Jake Cooper, you look at Wes Harding, we're asking them to be ball-playing defenders. And with the greatest respect, they are probably the least technically gifted ball-playing players we've got in our squad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're probably going to have the ball more often than any other player in the team. Because as you see it, quite often the ball's been played across the back three, and they're trying to pick passes. They're getting a lot of the ball, they get a lot of the possession. And when you're not that comfortable on the ball, and when you're not that kind of confident in what you're doing with it, you're asking players to do something that's out of their comfort zone. I would much rather I'd rather sacrifice the height of Jake Cooper. Because let's be honest, that's what he's there for, because of his aerial ability, whether it be defending or attacking. I'd rather sacrifice Jake Cooper tomorrow and play with two ball-playing centre-halves. Someone like Ryan Leonard and maybe Tanganga, if he's available, with Danny McNamara right-back and Murray Wallace left-back. Because if Leonard and Tanganga had to pass the ball around a little bit, I think they're going to feel fairly comfortable on the ball. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, they're not the sort of players that are going to be shy. I mean, you've seen the difference when Leonard come on, when he plays. Like, he just looks much more comfortable on the ball. I felt sorry for Tanganga in the previous games, because when he's playing in the back three with Wes and Cooper, if you're him and you're fairly comfortable on the ball, you're technically not a bad player. When you're looking to your left and you're looking to play a pass to somebody, do you really want to be passing that ball to Wes Harding or Jake Cooper if they're under pressure? It must be very difficult for him. It can't fill him with confidence when he's trying to play that ball across the back three and you've got Jake Cooper to the left and Wes Harding,
Absolutely. For the benefit of those that are listening to this back on a podcast, we have been joined by a third member of the That Millwall podcast panel. It's not Mickey. We're joined by the man himself from the episode of Chat with Chaps, which has gone down absolutely superbly. Chris, how are you this evening, my friend?
Good evening, gents. Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. I thought I'd surprise you and come on and say hello.
He told us he weren't going to come on. He said, I've got to go to bed at 9 o'clock and,
Well, yeah, usually I'm in bed with my hot water bottle at 9, but I thought I'd
come
on and say hello. and do you know what? I don't know if the word's excited, but I'm really looking forward to tomorrow, because I think that it's going to give us a lot of answers regardless. Mm. One way or another, I think we're going to find out a lot about this group and a lot about where we're going to be heading in weeks to come. So really looking forward to it. And hope you're both all right, gents. What was you just discussing? You were talking about Harding. Sorry, I've literally come in blind, so apologies.
To be honest with you, we could go off on a tangent, don't we, Stephen, a little bit at the moment. We're trying to keep a little bit of structure to the show. But I think he was mentioning about the confidence of the players. Is the confidence low? What's causing the confidence to be low? And I guess what's causing these errors? Before we continue, we have got a Millwall fan over in Belgium at the moment, Peter, aka Bob Peters, who's tuned in and listened to the show. So, Peter, hope you're well. Hope family's all good. And we'll see you next time you're back over in London.
Well done, Joe. Chris, we're going through a couple of the comments. I said we didn't want to kind of take away from your video, for those who haven't seen it, but we were kind of taking little bits out to try and go into a little bit more detail. Where do you stand on the debate between, are the players just not very good, or are they being asked to implement a style of football that they cannot play, and that is in itself impacting their ability in game?
I think I'm going to sit on the fence and I'll say it's a bit of both, which is what I said in my sort of, I called it, it's not really a post-match, it was just a summarization of where we find ourselves. I think that the players are clearly better than they are showing now, because we've not finished four times in the top half of the table and flirted with the playoffs twice, two seasons running, if they weren't. And I think that's an obvious statement to make. But what is also very, very clear is they are making an abundance of mistakes, right? That is absolutely clear. I mean, Joe, you've kind of created a little spreadsheet of the said mistakes, and I'm sure we'll
mention that earlier. And yeah, obviously, when you it's a bit like you, when you look back at things and you analyze things, although you kind of got an idea of what has happened, when you actually write, put pen to paper and you do your research and you look at it, yeah, it does really, really shock you, doesn't it? You know, and we said earlier, chats before you joined us, you know, in the last six games, we conceded 13 goals. If you want to include Murray Wallace in that penalty giveaway, that's 13 mistakes in our last 13 goals. We're going to be kind to him and say, look, that's 12. We call it 12 out of 13. But that's still a lot of mistakes. And the point I was making to Stephen earlier is that a lot of teams in the Championship make mistakes. A lot. You watch every game in the Championship, I guarantee there's one mistake at least that costs a team that results in a goal. But is it? But I don't feel it happens that often.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, you watch other Championship games. Normally, there's some good goals, whether it be some good crosses or, you know, good passing moves or long shots, whatever. But I just feel with us, every goal we concede is a gift. They don't have to work hard for it, do they?
No, I mean, I'll be honest, mate. It's difficult because we don't score many goals. So to analyse the mistakes the opposition make, I'm just going to pick up one where I'm sure if I was a Preston fan, for example, I'll be questioning why. Hello, Bobby. I'll be questioning why Zian Fleming was allowed a free header in the box, for example. Right. So, like, there's dependent. I think, of course, we analyze our own situation a lot more. But in the same breath, I do think we make more mistakes than others. And if you don't mind, I'll just sort of share a little bit about what I said in my video around some kind of, you know, observations on Jake Cooper. Jake Cooper has been, let's be honest, great for us now for a long, long time, right? There was talk and we were worried that we were going to lose him to Rangers for 5 to 8 million not so long ago. We've said for a long time that possibly him and Hutch were two of the best, if not the best defensive pairing in the league. So that's kind of where they were held in regard. But since Joe Edwards has come in, Jake Cooper has been made to look, let's be honest, piss poor. He has. He's made a lot of mistakes. And then you ask yourself the question, why? Well, from everything I know of Jake Cooper, he is a model professional. You can tell that by the way he applies himself in terms of he's always available, right? He's never injured. He is a role model in that regard. So I don't believe for one second that he's not playing for Joe or for the club or for the shirt or for the rest of the players. But he keeps making mistakes. So why is that? And I think ultimately that is because he's been asked to do things that he just can't do. And you can't, something has to change, right? And you can't, unfortunately, you can't go out and change your whole 11. So either the style of football that we are playing changes or the manager changes. And I think that's where we're coming to. And that may not go down very well. And I believe you me, I want Joe Edwards to succeed here because I genuinely think he can take us to that next level, but we've got to get through this season.
Chats, can I just, to your point you're making just there, I've heard, again, every fan's got different opinions and different thoughts and reasons why and what we should do and stuff like that. You hear a lot of fans saying, listen, let's just play the boring Rowett way at the moment. Let's just see the season out. Let's get some points. Let's get some survive, you know, consistency. And then we'll build in the summer for next season to play the Joe Edwards way. Do you agree or disagree with that? Because I don't know about you, there are some games, and I think, you know, towards the end of the season, we will get some easier games against weaker opposition at home where we can play the Joe Edwards way and play on the front foot. Because my concern is we go too defensively, especially against teams that we should be beating at home. I don't want us missing out on opportunities and drawing games 0-0 where we should be taking it to them from the first minute and try and win these games. So do we just adapt to the team we're playing against? I mean, how do you see it?
I mean, if there's ever an opportunity to play the Joe Edwards way, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right? Let's be honest. It really is. And I think what we are finding is football has evolved so much, I think, over the last 5 years. And you've got players that 5 years ago, like, I'm just gonna say how it is, like Danny Mack, Hutch, Jake Cooper, Murray Wallace, in an old school 4-4-2 way of playing football, were all very, very good top-end championship players. But football's evolved, and it's now more about athleticism than anything else. That's just how it is. And that is because the Premier League, with the money that's come into the Championship, you've kind of got this evolution into the Championship.
And players coming down. How many English players used to play in the Premier League that can't get in the Premier League anymore because of the influx of foreign players, good foreign players, let's be honest, coming from abroad, playing in the Premier League, was pushing out all these academy players, all these young English players, and having to join Championship clubs. So you're absolutely right there, chaps, that the standard of the Championship is so high. It's probably where the Premier League was maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
It is. Go on, Stephen.
I was just going to say that I've started for the guys. There's a couple of comments that are on this subject that I will come back to. I'm not leaving everybody out. Just a couple that I am going to put up just to break the ice just a little bit. This one absolutely is fantastic. Not very diverse on here. Far too much hair about. Mill Holdings, I do apologise. Mickey will be back next week to sort that out. But bringing it back to the topic at hand, interestingly, this is Rosalind, a comment that I wanted to touch on with you guys. The lack of fight is contagious. Half of these players weren't here for the Blackburn game last season, so they shouldn't have this defeatist mentality. Now, I just was listening to what you guys were saying, and much like what you said earlier, Chris, sitting on the fence type of thing, I think there's a number of factors that are going into the issues at the moment. However, as a football club, the events of the last, 8 months, 9 months have damaged us incredibly behind the scenes. I think not making the playoffs was obviously a huge blow to everybody. For me, I think a lot of our players may have thought that was their real opportunity to make the Premier League, and they blew it. And you don't know how that psychologically will impact. Maybe not the likes of Zian Fleming or Romain Essé coming through, who have longer in the game, but your Jake Coopers, your Murray Wallace, your Sean Hutchinson, probably players like that probably felt that was a golden opportunity missed. Sad passing of John Berylson, which rocked the club to its core. The man was a legend, and that it clearly impacted us. Gary Rowett even said on his podcast that the club didn't feel the same without him. But I have to agree with the comment from Rosalind that a lot of the players that are in the club at the moment weren't there for those. They didn't know John particularly well. They didn't have the scarring of the Blackburn fixture. Yes, there's players there. We know that we've still got a lot of the Rowett squad. But when you've got the likes of, you know, Obafemi, Tanganga, Casper De Noor, who may or may not have joined. I think he might join after the
I think it was John joined in the summer, didn't he? I think.
Yeah, but he joined after John passed away. I don't think he would have had the baggage of him and players like that.
You won't have got to know him, probably. No.
Are they have they entered an environment that is just that was just so defeatist and so negative that as soon as the chips are down, look where we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. We talk a lot about leaders and people stepping up and players staying up, stepping up. And there's not many of them, to be honest with you. I think our best performance, or two best performances, if you like, were the Norwich and QPR games over the Christmas period. And in those two games, I believe you had Hutchison playing at the back. And I think Hutchison probably had his best game. Was it away to Bristol City when he scored the winner right at the very end?
We were excellent away at Bristol City. We really was.
And also, sorry to interrupt you, Chris. Also, didn't we play on the front foot that game as well, from memory? I mean, I'm talking about us going all row it and defensively, but we seemed to kind of take it a bit too there. We made it a game and we were on the front foot. And, you know, Hutchison stepped up and made a difference for us, didn't he?
He did. And Hutch is not a typical leader in a sense. You don't see him rollicking players. You don't see him rollicking the ref. But quite clearly, he is our leader because, you know, Cooper is half the player when he's not there. That's just a fact, right?
Yeah.
Cooper is... he's going through a bad spell, but I really like Jake Cooper and I think he'll leave a legacy at Millwall whenever he leaves us. But he's half the player when Hutch isn't there. And we have... Sorry to digress a little bit, but in the summer, God, we've got a big job to do, regardless of what league we're in, because not only are we going to have possibly up to 10 players that we need to recruit from the five that are out of contract and the five that are on loan, but we've got to recruit leadership as well.
Yeah, in the right kind of players,
which is not easy to do. You know, we were linked with Lewis Travers in the summer from Blackburn, Blackburn's captain. He's gone to Ipswich and he can't even get a look in.
At the time, not many of our fans fancied it because we thought we had too many midfielders. But it's not about having the quantity, it's the quantity, and it's more about the personality, isn't it? Because he is, like you say, he's a leader. He was their captain. I mean, what a signing he would have been. I think he would have made a good contribution in our midfield with the likes of Casper, Denor and Savile and Honeyman, perhaps, and rotating those players. I can't hear you.
Stephen, you're on mute, mate.
I don't know if it's his Wi-Fi, maybe. Can we hear you? Or you can't hear? It could be his microphone. But, I mean, also, a point to yourself, Chris. The last game, I know we were resting players. We rested Tanganga. We rested Casper, I believe, because they're saying we're playing three games in quick succession. Obafemi was ill, we believed, so that's why he didn't start and couldn't play. But I'll have a quick look at that list, and we've got eight players that were unavailable. Mm-hmm. And these eight players, I think if they're fit, they start, end of. So you've got Kevin Nisbet, you've got Hutchinson. I'll even put Longman in there, potentially, you know. Imaku, I think he's worthy of a start if he's fit. If he's fit, he starts. Brooke Norton-Cuffey, Joe Bryan, Obafemi, Tanganga. Yeah, there's eight players there that if you had them at your disposal to start, what a difference it would have made to us having those players.
Yeah.
Go on, Chris, go on.
No, I was going to say, I think, well, a couple of things. I think that there were some rumours floating around that, was it Tanganga, Denor, and one other were ill in the week, whether that's true or not. We don't know. Mm. But honestly, this is what I said when I first come on about tomorrow. Like, I'm genuinely, I don't know what the word is, excited or not, I don't know. But
I'm mixed. I'm excited, but very, very nervous, I must admit.
Yeah, but I think we will find out tomorrow whether the players are playing for Edwards or not. I really think so. Like, to Gerard's point there, I honestly think we'll find out a lot, because to me, tomorrow is shit or bust time. Let's be honest. Like, if Sheffield Wednesday beat us, all of a sudden they will have a lot of wind in their sails, and it will, I don't know if we come back from that. I really don't.
I mean, it is a must win game. I mean, we mentioned it a few times. Oh, we must win this game. Huddersfield, I think at home was a must win game, wasn't it? You know, in the...
How many times do we say it and then we never do?
Let me ask you a question. I know, but go on, sorry.
Let me ask you both a question. Tomorrow we lose, okay? Do you sack Edwards?
I won't, personally. I wouldn't.
I still feel...
It's a hard question, but that's why we're here.
Yeah, I mean, if Sheffield Wednesday win, they get 29 points, they'll be 4 points behind us. We then got to play Southampton away, we then got to play Watford at home, which is not going to be easy games. I think we can beat Watford at home. But I think there'd be teams with lower budgets, smaller squads, a bit like Plymouth, for example, who will, towards the end of the season, drop down the league. You know, there'll be a few of those teams there. And I think you're going to have QPR there or thereabouts. Rotherham are down there. Sheffield Wednesday, I think, will still go down. So there's going to be three or four teams I think will really, really struggle. And I just don't see us being in that batch. I think we're better than them, you know. We just need that bit of luck at the moment.
I'll be honest with you, Joe. I really struggle to say that we're better than those teams at the moment, because the standard of our play is, and the level of performance, as I said earlier, I was embarrassed leaving the ground on Wednesday night. It was no fight, no passion, no heart, nothing. Yeah. And I just maybe we have been a bit unlucky with injuries and illness and suspensions, but you know, as a Millwall fan, and all of us have different opinions, but I'm sure we can all agree on the fact that the least you expect is a team that will fight and try and hassle and hurry and at least show that they care. Romain Essé, an 18-year-old kid, I thought tried to put himself about a bit. Might not have been the best player on the pitch, but he tried to put himself about a bit and make some tackles. Okay, it wasn't as successful, but he tried. Zian Fleming, someone who only joined the club last year, who has been received pelters from me, especially on this show, criticising how well he has been playing. For in the last couple of games, Fleming has been one of our best players, and he's been one of our best players because he's actually showing that he cares and he's fighting and he's putting himself about a bit. Mm. So, you know, but
I'd add Honeyman to that as well.
Yeah. Honeyman, again, putting himself about trying. Look, they're not playing well as in their actual ability and they're not putting in 10 out of 10 performances. But why are three players that have joined the club, George Honeyman's from the North, Sian Fleming's from Holland and Romain Essé is a kid coming through the academy. Where is this from the rest of the other players? Where's that fight? The point that you made, Chris, tomorrow is huge. I'm looking forward to the game because I fully expect our players to come out and show that they are playing for the club. They're playing for their manager and they're playing for their support. And as you said, we're going to get more answers tomorrow, because if we don't get a result, that tells me all you need to know about this group of players.
Absolutely. We need to see it all. We need to see aggression. Obviously, we need to play some good football. I think they can play good football against Sheffield Wednesday, because they'll give us chances and they'll probably let us have the ball a little bit, you know. But... yeah, I think it's the fundamentals. And you hear Joe Edwards talk about it quite often, especially in the first few games of him being in charge. It's basic football, isn't it? It's the fundamentals that you're looking for. And that is hard work. That is aggression. You know, that's doing all the basics right. And then, you know, a bit of sprinkle of skill, whatever you want to call it, that wins you the games. But ultimately, you can't, you know, not do that, which is what really frustrates me. When you look at, again, going back to my stats on the mistakes we made, you know, Joe Bryan cost us, you know, three or four goals in the last sort of six games. And it's that kind of attitude. It's almost like, you know, he's a bit luxurious sort of getting back. He's not really sort of like making determined enough. Even when he concedes a goal, okay, we're not asking him to get on his knees and beg for forgiveness, but at least show some kind of remorse. You know, I remember going to Coventry away the other day, and I thought Wes Harding had a reasonably good game. He came over towards the end, one of the last players to clap us. And all he kept doing was tapping his chest and apologising, saying sorry and clapping, and walked off. He was the last person. You know, you'll never see Joe Edwards hold his hand up for the mistakes he's made. And what is that? Is that just he doesn't care? Is it just, I don't know, we just see, oh, it's just football. I don't really care. And if you've got that kind of attitude, it's the wrong attitude to have. You know, you want players, you know, as limited as Wes Harding is technically, at least he's got that fight. At least you can see he cares. He wants it, you know. And I'll probably add Cooper to that, Chris, as well, going back to your point earlier.
Yeah. One interesting observation my old man said, I didn't even clock it at the time, but when... All right, look, the whole performance was a shambles. Wes Harding didn't play well, but his own goal was unfortunate.
It was unfortunate.
Not a single player went up to him. No one.
That's true.
Yeah. They just left him. There seems to be, everyone talks about how, and everyone you speak to who connected with the club says there's a really good atmosphere in the dressing room, and I'm sick and tired of hearing of it. I don't give a shite if there's a good dressing room atmosphere. Go out there and show us how good your atmosphere is, because you go and perform on the pitch. I'm sick and tired of hearing all this. I really am. We've got to go and win a game of football. I don't care if we win 1-0 tomorrow with an own goal. We have to win. We have to show fight. We have to show... I don't even care if we show ability. I'm past caring of playing nice football. We have to win, and we need to get 3 points on the table to give us breathing space tomorrow. Because if we don't, we're in big trouble. Because Sheffield Wednesday... If they beat us, we're not only looking, you know, then there's two places up for grabs in the relegation zone as opposed to one.
Absolutely. And I also think on that comment there from Bobby, the atmosphere of the supporters, it is not going to be a nice environment if we go 1-0 down or 2-0 or whatever. If we go behind in the game, it's going to be very, very difficult for Joe Edwards. I actually thought... you talk about body language and things like that. I actually thought, from what I saw and pictures and looking back on social media, Edwards looked broken on Wednesday. He looked like a man who just wanted the world to swallow him up and just be done with it. And
do you blame him, though? Do you blame him? I mean,
No, I don't. I don't. But look, someone said the other day, and I can't remember what it was in relation to, but... If you get a job, it doesn't matter what you do as a profession. I'm sure if you asked all the guys in the comments what they do, that everyone works across a variety of different things. You get a new job and you've always got that new job feeling. You look forward to it. You think, right, I'm gonna come in. This is my opportunity, especially if it's a big opportunity that you've desperately wanted for your entire life. He got the best start possible ever. 4-0 away victory in your first game, played really good football. Okay, admittedly, Sheffield Wednesday were a poor side, but that's, you couldn't ask for much more.
No.
And I imagine, and he's very close with his family, I know you guys are too, I'm very, very close to my dad. And the first thing I'd have been doing if I was Joe Edwards, I'd have been on the phone to my dad going, Dad, I'd have been absolutely buzzing with it. Can you imagine what it's like for Joe Edwards to be on the phone to his parents, to his friends, to his family? Even the face in the players, he's just a broken man. He's just a broken man, and he needs something. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if he's going to be here for much longer if results don't turn. I do feel sorry for him, but at the same time, it is his job. It is his job to turn this around and get these players playing. And unfortunately, tomorrow is for me do or die.
What if we have the performance of the year tomorrow, we absolutely take it to them, we end up winning 3-0 or 4-0, and everyone's singing Joe Edwards' name and everything else. That pulls us slightly in a better position, depending on what other results going our way. But where do we go from there? Is that it? Are we kind of almost safe psychologically, or do you still envisage there being a problem going forward? Because, you know, one game is not going to change it, is it? I would have thought.
No, I mean, I'm hoping one of the problems we've got at the minute is confidence.
Mm.
And I think getting 3 points on the board with a good performance will instill confidence. I also think that point you alluded to earlier, Joe, that we've got players that are either injured or coming back to fitness. We need to get our best players on the pitch and playing regularly. You know, every single game, there's four changes.
Yeah,
and we can't have that. You know, we need... You know, let's go through it. Our best players, technically, whether they're fit or not, are probably Zian Fleming, Casper Dunor, Michael Obafemi. I know he's been here 2 minutes, but I've followed his career. I know how good he can be. Tanganga. And I'd probably put Ryan Leonard up there, to be honest. I think he's been phenomenal. Like, those players, we need to get on the pitch as much as possible, because they're going to be the difference makers. And like, maybe I'm always said you make your own luck in football, but maybe we have had a bit of bad luck with the injuries. Look at the bench, by the way, on Wednesday night. Look at the players that Ipswich brought onto the field, and look at the bench that we had available.
They brought on probably the arguably their best player, didn't they? Second half.
Yeah, they did. It's Chaplin. Right? It's Chaplin, wasn't it?
Chaplin, yeah. Colin Chaplin.
I mean, he's sitting on the bench. You know, they make a last minute substitution of Caden Jackson that would probably walk into our team in a minute. Yeah. Like it's crazy. And this is Ipswich, a team that come up from League One last season.
Yeah.
It just shows you how far other teams have managed to develop. And I don't want to necessarily, well, we can get into what we want, but it goes back to recruitment. It really does.
What's your thoughts on I know we ain't got much choice at the moment, but what's your thoughts on Bradshaw at the moment? I mean, I can't remember the last time he scored for us. And it just seems like for all he's running around and pressing and everything else, like I just feel we haven't got no presence up front at all. It was quite interesting because when he made a few substitutions, and I think he then moved Fleming up front for the last 10 minutes, the last game, although he didn't get a lot of the ball, I just suddenly felt a presence. I felt there was somebody up front who can hold the ball, you know, and drop it or whatever. And, you know, I just don't quite understand that, you know. I mean,
as Peter, who's listening, will allude to, I've been screaming for Fleming to be moved central. Shoving him out wide doesn't work.
Me too.
Let's be honest. It don't. He's not a winger. He's not blessed with pace. It's just not. It's almost as if, I'm not comparing the two players, I'm really, really not. But when Neil Harris used to use Aidan O'Brien, it was a case of, oh, well, we need to put someone on the left, so we'll just, that'll do type thing.
Yeah.
Fleming, he wants Fleming to play, but he doesn't. He wants to play the system, so that's where he gets shoved.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, dependent on Obafemi, whatever goes on with him, I don't know if he's going to be back or not. I would be starting with Cian Fleming as a striker tomorrow. Yeah, 100%. Get him in the middle.
I've always made comparisons between Fleming and Gyökeres last season, as in, they're both kind of built very similar. Yeah, they've both got... technically, they're quite gifted, on the ball. They've got an eye for goal, clearly. They can score, whether it be headers or shots, whatever. And I've said for a long time, I'd love to see Fleming played further up the pitch. But, of course, when you've got someone like Obafemi at disposal, you can't afford to leave him on the bench and not play him. So it's a system change for me. Whether we go with a four at the back or even a five, or a three across the midfield, and then maybe play Fleming up front with Obafemi. I mean, I wouldn't be adverse to seeing a 3-5-2 formation with Obafemi and Fleming up front and a midfield three with Honeyman, Saville and Denora as a three. Or we can throw Mitchell in there if you prefer,
Gents, you were there the other night. I wasn't. And I watched bits and bobs of the game. I couldn't for work purposes. But whenever I did flick through in the second half, it looked like Denora was playing further forward than normal.
He kept interchanging. I saw that as well. There was one moment when Saville was almost sitting back. Yeah. And you had Honeyman and Denora further forward. And then you had Denora step back into the sort of DM position again and left Honeyman up there. And then one minute I saw Saville so high up the pitch, he was ahead of Bradshaw and he was pressing the defenders down. It just seemed like they were kind of almost like interchanging a little bit. So whether that's something like they've been asked to do or told to do, whether they've just done it, ad hoc, if you like. I don't quite understand what happened there. But for me, I would much rather see Kasper playing in a number kind of eight role, like a box-to-box. He likes being on the ball. He likes carrying the ball. He likes being busy. I don't want to see him sat.
No one else in our team can find.
Yeah. Early in the season, I've seen him unlock, so many defensive with his through balls. It makes a big difference. But I think you do need him further up the pitch. Having him playing so deep, I think you're losing his main attributes.
Joe, another option could be to play. So, do you know what? I'm just going to tell you the team I'd play tomorrow if everyone's available. So let's do it. So I would keep Sarkic in goal. That may or may not be a popular call.
Sorry, Chris, can I just interject there? Once you do your team, I've got a comment regarding Sarkic and we'll do a piece on him. But it's interesting that you would stick with him. But carry on.
Okay, all right. So I'll justify it then. So I'd stick with Sarkic. Does he convince me? No. Does he fill me with confidence? No. Do I panic every time he comes for a cross? Yes. But do I think it's the right time to change the goalkeeper? No, I don't. So yeah, I'd stick with Sarkic. My back three would be, I'd play Leonard left centre-back because I think he can play there because he's missed the versatility. Mm. Assumption is that Hutch is still not fit, and I don't believe he is. So, therefore, I would play Cooper in the centre where he's okay. Mm. And then I'd play Tanganga on the right. Then the wing-backs, you've got to bring Norton Cuffey in. So Norton Cuffey, if he's fit on the right. On the left, I suppose it's by default Murray Wallace, but maybe you give the kid a game and put Mayer in. Don't know. Just an option. My midfield two would be Honeyman and Denoor. I would then play Esse in the pocket. To me, he's not a wide man. So I put him,
Put him
in the pocket, and then I would play Fleming and Obafemi up top. That would be my thing.
I love that. I love that, yeah. I personally think that's where SA's best position is, chaps. I prefer him in that number 10, almost freeing him up of defensive responsibilities. Yes, you've got to fill in when you haven't got the ball transition. You then got to step into midfield and, you know, and block any lines that you might be left open. But ultimately, you're not having to track back. You're not having to chase a fullback that's making a run forward like he would do if you're playing out wide. And I think he actually plays better on the ball. You know, when he gets that ball and he turns, and he's running at players and making things happen, he looks so much more effective there. But the reason why he's not getting an opportunity to play there often is because Zian Fleming's there. But again, like you said, chaps, playing further up the pitch, and I agree with what Stephen's saying, playing him up the pitch with Fleming behind, I think that's a system that will work, you know?
Yeah.
On the subject, Joe will come to our teams in a minute, but I'm gonna talk about Matty. No, it's fine. It's fine.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.